Right, this is Tony Alamo. This is chapter 3 of Ephesians. And I've written some things. What I'm doing now is I know the Lord told me that the people in the church are not reading the Bible, that they're relying mainly on my literature. And my literature, my writings are not vast enough. In other words, I haven't written enough tracts to keep you stabilized in the Lord, because I cannot pipe messages from the Lord into you every day, all throughout the day. And the Lord requires that you do that yourselves in order for you to have the power to enter the kingdom of heaven. And before entering heaven, to give you the power to stand in defense of your soul and the gospel, and for you to not only be concerned about yourself, but to be concerned about others in the world that have not yet received salvation. Because people think too much, worry too much about their own selves rather than the purpose that the Lord has called for you to do, and for me, and that is to enlarge the church, to enlarge the body of Christ, to borrow vessels, as Elisha told the woman to do. She didn't have anything but a little jar of oil in her house, and he told her, and she was very poor. And he says, so go borrow a bunch of empty vessels. Go throughout the neighborhood and get them. And don't get a few of them. Get a bunch and bring them in. And this talks about winning souls. This is just symbolic. Like oil is liquid. It needs something to hold it, because if it isn't held by some kind of a vessel, then it's worthless. So the Holy Spirit, without being in vessels, is worthless. It needs to be in a human vessel so that God can, by the Spirit, deal by pouring the oil into that empty vessel, which is not empty anymore if the oil's in there. But the oil can't do anything unless it's in a vessel. When it's in a vessel, it takes the same shape as the vessel. When it's not in the vessel, there's no shape to it at all. And the Lord told this woman to get a bunch of vessels. And when she did, filled them with water, and the water turns into oil. Amen? Amen? Just like the water turned into wine when Jesus performed his first miracle at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. And so this is just symbolic, is that there needs to be a change in the vessels. We just have water, but the vessel is for holding the Lord. The Lord made us in his image, and we're like gloves that need to be filled with God himself. And the Holy Spirit is likened unto oil in the Old and New Testament. There is an oil, a balm in Gilead, that can fill you up and cleanse your soul and heal your soul and give you power. The Lord said that we shall have power. Ye shall have power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They tarried in Jerusalem for 10 days, waiting for the Lord to fill them with himself, so that they'd have the power in them to do the same ministry that he had, so that he'd have the church. And the church was enlarged daily. The disciples went out and started getting more and more empty vessels and bringing them into the house. And then they would preach the gospel to them, the water of the word, and then that water, when they received enough of the water, they had enough faith to receive the oil, the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
And then when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit stays in there if people continue refilling with the Word of God, with the washing of the water, and filling with the oil. The water is also symbolic of the Holy Spirit, and oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And vessels are symbolic. Empty vessels are like us before we get saved. And we need to be brought into the house of the Lord. And God called us for the purpose of acquiring a bride for him, to enlarging the entire fullness of the Spirit of God in empty vessels, to enlarge the church, which is his body. The same thing holds true in the book of Zechariah and in Nehemiah. All these is like they started building the church or the Jerusalem, and then they stopped building Jerusalem. That's like a church that forgets about the purpose of the Lord, about going out and bringing, completely building the body of Christ. So, Father God, let's go up to the throne of the Lord now and ask the Lord to bless this, this service. Father, we thank and praise your name for your word. Your word gives us power and strength and hope. It gives us direction, and it gives us the Holy Spirit. And we have power when the Holy Spirit continues in us. And it also gives us your purpose for us to, by the Holy Spirit, to keep our selves yielded unto you so that you can bring about many, many, many empty vessels into the house of the Lord so that they can be filled with the water and also the oil. And so that we are also in the church supposed to edify one another with the word of the Lord, so that there is an ongoing infilling of the oil, that the oil never runs out. And there is a horrible retribution to the five virgins who allowed their water, the oil, to run out of their lamps. Five of the virgins were wise, and they kept reading the word and letting the oil flow through them on a daily basis. And then the other five were foolish and let the oil run out. They paid no attention to your word and didn't care anything about human souls. If they would have, they would have kept the oil running in their lamps so that there would have been you in them. That would, because no one can come unto the Lord unless the Holy Spirit draws them. So Lord, let the people that are foolish virgins in the church repent before it's too late, before you come at midnight. Hallelujah! Father God, in the name of Jesus, let every heart be opened, every mind and every soul to receive the things that you prepared for us to receive today from the very foundations of the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay? Alright, so let's read. Now what I do is, they weren't reading the Bible, so I'm going scripture by scripture, what it says in the King James Version, and then I'm writing, and I see what the King James says, and then I do a little explanation on it, all right? Which some people have said that it makes them understand the Bible a little bit better, because I'm not preaching heresy. It's just what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
So let's read a little bit about this.
The purpose of the book of Zechariah.
Right. So we read a little bit about Zechariah here. What do you know what the purpose of the book of Zechariah for? It is to encourage people, the children of God, to continue building Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So this message is here from Ephesians, are to encourage the children of the Lord. Of course, the people that are not of the Lord are not going to be encouraged to do anything for the Lord. But these messages are for those who are of the Lord, to encourage them to continue building Jerusalem so that the Lord can live in his body. In the empty vessels. He doesn't want us to be empty. He wants us to fill us with the oil, with him. Because after all, we are in his image and likeness. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Now, we have no power over sin or temptation if we don't have him in us. But we have more than sufficient. We are more than conquerors if we have the oil, the wine in us. Amen?
Amen.
The water. Lord, if we're drinking the Lord and eating of the Lord every day. So now, I don't know whether you get these sort of things when you're in your reading groups together, when you read the Bible, but let me help you, amen, a little bit here. Let the Lord help you, amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go.
The purpose of the book of Zechariah is to encourage God's people to complete the task of rebuilding God's temple.
Right, don't you realize, you know, what this means? It means that we're supposed to continue building the body of Christ, his temple, amen?
Amen.
And the city, New Jerusalem, which is in the New Jerusalem, amen, which is in heaven. This is heaven, amen?
Amen.
Then what else? And heaven doesn't come with observation, because heaven is within. The Lord must live within us. He's all in all. He's everything. He's heaven, everything. He created everything in the universe, amen? So if we have him in us, then we have the creator of heaven, everything in heaven, earth, everything on earth, amen?
Amen.
So what more do we need? Okay? He is our inheritance, amen?
Amen.
The creator of heaven and earth and all that is therein. Then what?
The purpose of the book of Zechariah is to encourage God's people to complete the task.
The emphasis on God's people, because people that are just out of it, they're not going to pay any attention to this at all. To encourage God's people to what?
To complete the task of rebuilding God's temple, their holy society, and their lives.
Well, our society is the church. Amen? Mm-hmm. And our life must be his life, because we have no life without him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
By telling them to come back to a place of safety.
Yeah, now where is the place of safety in this world? I did a tract on that once before. Where's the safest place in the world? Where is that? Only in Christ. Amen? Amen. In the temple. Amen?
Amen?
Being in the church. There's no other safer place. Because let's face it, if anything happens to us, if a bomb falls on us, God forbid, but God forbid, you know, so what difference does it make if it does? Because we'll be right in heaven, and that's what we want to be, where we want to be anyway, unless you are some kind of a phony and you don't really believe in heaven. But when you see it, you'll wish you were there if you're not going to be there. All right? You'll be very sad when you see it and you're not there. And you'll be very extremely sad and tormented eternally if you're in hell. So, read the last sentence, please.
The purpose of the book of Zechariah is to encourage God's people to complete the task of rebuilding God's temple, their society, and their lives by telling them to come back to a place of safety.
Yeah, you go out and tell the people, come on into a place of safety. Come on into the church. This world is troubled. There's no safe place here except in in the Lord's temple. Amen?
Amen.
Come into the safe place. Because what good is it if you live and get killed tonight, huh? But you're not safe. It's not safe to be anywhere else other than in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? So we have to remind ourselves of this every day, don't we?
Yes.
And how can we be reminded by this? By reading the Word. Amen?
Amen?
Because the Word will definitely remind you of that all the time. And it's strange that you don't know that. That's because you haven't been reading the Word, and that's why I am being compelled to read the Word with you. Because you're lazy, and you can't. The Lord didn't call us to lounge around. He called us to fight. And we can't fight unless we're armored with the Word. And so you better not be lazy anymore. I mean, for your own sake. You know, to me, I'm saved. And I know for sure God is saved. Amen. He's not worried about it, about going to hell. But what about you? Get right. Get into that place of safety. Amen.
Amen.
Some people, they think that we're really telling them to do something wrong, that they're in the place of drudgery. The light affliction that we have here in this world is not to be compared to the glorious things that we receive in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this is affliction. No, we put people out of the church, and they called, and they went to a mission, and the mission won't let them stay there. They kicked them out on the street. They says, we can't come back until night, and it's cold out here. I'll say, don't you have more appreciation for this church now? That there's nice warm beds, We're not that kind of a mission where we throw you out during the day like the other missions do. Now, I was raised in the missions, and I know what a nice place we have. Okay? Yeah, Antavia and her mother, Cynthia, just called up on the phone, and they said, it's cold out here. Could you have mercy on us? I said, well, didn't I have mercy on you before and let you stay in this nice place, but you kept causing commotions in the church? Well, I'll never cause commotions again. I said, well, you know, you just kept doing it, and I kept telling you. She said, I didn't know, though, that you'd throw us out on the street. And I says, for God's sake, I said it all the time. Don't I say it all the time?
Yeah.
She said, but I didn't really think you'd go through with it. Well, what do you think I am, a liar? I says, now look, so if you finally got the point, huh? Okay, well, if you really repent and you're not going to do it anymore, then come on back, and then you won't have to worry about me throwing you out. But if you do it again, don't call me next time you get thrown out, okay? Because right now I have to be bringing a message. And you wouldn't be ruled, and the Bible says to put the unruly ones out. You think it's easy out there? Oh, it costs thousands of dollars a month for most people to live. But they should appreciate, you know, like when you have things all the time, you don't think of them as being value any longer. I mean, you know, people have food every day and it's valueless to them. They have water every day and this means nothing. Yeah, the value of it doesn't mean a thing. But I'll guarantee you, like if J. Paul Getty was in hell right now, he'd give you every one of his billions of dollars that he had when he was here just for a drink of water. Just for a drink of water. And the people that get thrown on the street. And that's why I have to be like, do what the Lord says, is if I see that they've lost appreciation for what the Lord has done for them in this world, then I put them out in the street so that they can... There can be a contrast there of what it's like outside of the church and what it's like in the church, what it would be like out in hell and what it would like be like in heaven. This is just like a small haven here on earth. You know, and you just said some of you people have never been out on the streets before and you don't know what it's like. Some of you have never ever had to earn a living before and therefore you don't put in a decent day's work here in the church. You don't serve God as... with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You have hardly even put any a little bit of your strength into him. But if you lounge around here in this world, you're going to be in a workhouse forever, because the people in hell constantly fling themselves, and it never ceases, against the banks of hell, which are red hot. And they just cry out like for mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. There's the ionic pentameter of the word mercy, mercy, mercy. You can't even breathe there. You'll even thank God for breath. Ah, so nice to breathe. Ah, everyone take a deep breath now. Everyone, like they say on these religious programs, everyone look at their neighbor and say, breathe. Okay, and praise the Lord for breath. Amen? Because some people, if the breath goes out of you and you're not right with the Lord, I mean, you're going to be thrown square in hell. Amen?
Amen?
So it's good to reprove ourselves with the word of the Lord every day, because the Lord said that's the way that we can retain our life. Amen?
Amen.
To keep it. So let's get everything straight from the Lord. Then what does it say?
The people of Israel had started to rebuild God's temple in Jerusalem, but had failed to complete the task. The key verse is, quote, come back to the place of safety.
Right, it's in the Bible. You have it there?
Yes.
Okay, come back into the church. Come back into Jerusalem here, the place of safety, because God is with us. Amen?
Amen.
And it doesn't make any difference. 10,000 can rise up against us, but we're here not. Amen?
Amen.
And one of us will chase 1,000, two of us 10,000, and it goes up to where there's more. Just 8 of us can chase more than there is in the whole world. So that's why by reading the word of the Lord, we're encouraged to have boldness, and boldness to be fearless, to go up to the throne because of the blood of Jesus and talk to the Lord knowing that he loves us and cares about us, and we should be praising and thanking the Lord because he loves us and is concerned about our souls and wants us to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
What a beautiful thing to have a God that loves us. Amen?
Amen.
If we keep his commandments. But he doesn't love liars who say they love him and keep not his commandments, because the truth is not in him. He says all liars go into hell. They're going outside of heaven. And there's only two places to go, heaven and then outside of heaven, and outside of heaven is hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Zechariah 9:12.
Read it.
Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners.
Ah, where's the stronghold? The church! Amen?
Amen.
In the body of Christ. Turn you back into the stronghold, the walled city. Amen?
Amen.
Is the New Jerusalem the walled city?
Yes.
Is the Pope Catholic?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Is the bear asleep in the woods? All right, then what? Yes, 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 the walled city is the Lord. Then what?
Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee.
Yeah, in other words, he says, I'll give you, if you come in, he said, I'll give you double. For every woe that you have, I'll double blessing. I'll double you with reward, good rewards, if you come into the house of the Lord. But there is a lot of woe outside of the house of God. There's thousands of woes. So just think that he'll double the woes. Go ahead, read it.
Come back to the place of safety, all ye prisoners. For there is yet hope. God continues with...
They come into the place of safety because there's yet hope. There's hope. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
God continues with a promise. I promise this very day that I will repay you two mercies for each of your woes.
Every woe that you have, he gives you two mercies. You know, because you care about human souls enough to stay in the body of Christ, to have the Spirit of God flowing through you so that you can fill the empty vessels that are out there in the world, and to keep the vessels in the church filled with the oil, he says he'll give you double mercies for every woe that you've ever had in your life. He'll give you two mercies for each woe. Have you? Some of us have had millions of woes. I think I have. So that means I get double the amount of woes in mercies. Isn't that a good promise?
Amen.
Excellent, man. Amen?
Amen.
So no matter how many woes you got, it's just going to double back in mercies. Amen?
Amen.
And it's so wonderful to know that we have a God that wants to pay us double in mercies for everything that we have to go through. Amen? Then what?
Chapter 3.
Yeah. Okay, now this is... we're going into chapter 3 now of the book of Ephesians, because we've done chapter 6, chapter 1, chapter 2, and now this is chapter 3, okay? Then what?
God's secret plan revealed.
Yeah, God has a secret plan. Do you know what that plan is? No? All right, read it. What is the plan? You know, he wanted to reconcile the Jews and the Gentiles, amen? To make a whole church. Huh? Right?
Right.
And that's the bottom line, is the church, the temple, amen, for God to live in. Is there anything more important?
No.
No. So don't, you know, come into the place of safety, the church. And don't think you're doing God a favor by being... You're the one that's getting the favor done to you, okay?
Amen.
Unless you're pretty blank upstairs here in the brain department. Okay, then what?
I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the reason of my preaching to you Gentiles.
Yeah, I was called to preach the gospel because of you Gentiles, to win you Gentiles. Okay, read it from the King James first.
For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward.
Now, a lot of people say the dispensation of the undeserved favor of God, because they say that grace is undeserved favor. No, that God has given me the mighty power, a gift of the mighty power of God to preach the gospel, not undeserved favor. God is not looking to do us favor. He's looking for to live in us to do the world favor by winning their souls. Amen?
Amen.
And that isn't... that's what that pleases God very much, to see souls saved. So if we do what he says, well then we're not just doing God a favor, we're doing ourselves a favor, because if we don't, then we're out of the place of safety. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words.
Okay, now we read what I got there. From before we left off.
As you already know, God has given me this special ministry.
A special ministry. He didn't give it to you or to any other apostle, but he gave me a special ministry. Okay? Your ministry is, I said before, there's like in the body of Christ, in our bodies, we have many members. We have ears, eyes, nose, mouth, fingers, toes, so on. And my finger doesn't have the same ministry as my eyes. And my eyes don't have the same ministry as my brain or my ear. Each one is important that we have, that we know, which I don't try to pick up my food with my ears. Amen? And I don't try to put my food in my eyes. Amen?
Amen?
But there's a lot of people in the church that don't know what their position is. Many of them, see, Paul is called to a special ministry. I was too. And a lot of people try to take over my ministry, and this is called usurping authority. And what it is you are a person that is so blind spiritually that you don't know what member you are in the body of Christ, and therefore you're not doing your job. Amen. I want my little toe to do what it does. Amen. It keeps me on balance. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want my little toe over where my nose is. Right?
Amen.
Or I don't want my nose down where the little toe is. Do you want yours there?
No.
No, yet smart. Okay? We have to know where our place is in the Lord so that we can be a blessing to the rest of the body. Amen?
Amen.
Don't try I don't try to do Sanford's job, you know, or whatever the Lord called him to do, because if we're all doing the job that we've been called to do, well, then the church, the body of Christ, is strengthened here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
And it functions better. So here's a special ministry that Paul said he was called to do. And what is that special ministry? He just told you, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Okay? Peter was preaching the gospel to the Jews, and Paul was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That's a special ministry, right? Specialized. He didn't go and try to teach us, I would, you know, that I could go preach the gospel to the Jews. But the Lord has got me preaching the gospel to these Gentiles. And he thinks it's a wonderful thing because it's a special ministry and it's what God wants him to do, and he doesn't want to do anything else. Amen?
Amen?
Even though in his heart he would like to, but he knows better than to try to do it because he doesn't want to be out of order with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so read what I said about the special ministry.
As you already know, God has given me this special ministry of announcing his favor to you Gentiles.
See? In other words, he's saying, I favor you now. Now, I, Paul, have come to you to tell you Gentiles, who, you know, Jesus said that were dogs, but I'm telling you that the Lord now has mercy on you. And he says, you know, if you come unto him, all that dogs, the dog stuff, will be wiped off from you. You'll be part of the church, part of the body of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful news for Gentiles?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to graft in, the Lord says, into the body of Christ. Some people say, so what's the big deal? Well, you don't deserve to be in the body of Christ if you think it's no big deal, because the Gentiles, really, the ordinances of the Lord said that it's to the Jew. Amen?
Amen.
And not the Greek. But now I come to bring you the good news that you Gentiles can be partakers in all the blessings of the Lord, that you can have eternal life. Well, you're not all going to hell if you come into the place of safety. Now, do you Gentiles want us to go to hell, or do you want to come into the church? That's the way to preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Do you want to continue to be dogs in the eyes of God, or do you want to be part of the royal priesthood? You want a new nationality, or God would never call you a dog. And if you'd go back to your old vomit, your old life. Then what?
As I briefly mentioned earlier in this letter, God himself revealed his secret plan to me.
Yeah, he says, go to the Gentiles. Amen? That's my secret plan, Paul. Right? He revealed it to him. That's a revelation, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we don't know where we're going or what we're doing if the Lord doesn't talk to us. Amen?
Amen.
And he said he didn't learn it from man, but he got it from by the revelation from the Lord, the secret plan that the Lord had for him. And Paul says, go to the dogs? Yeah, you dog, you killed the body the people in the body of Christ. Now you go and talk to these dogs and see if you can't persuade them to come into the house of safety, a place of safety. Okay? Because they're all idol worshippers. But see if they'll start worshiping me now. And if they will, that means they'll do everything I say to do. That means they're going to read this word every day so that they can be my disciples. And then they'll do what it says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
As you read what I have written, you will understand what I know about this plan of God regarding Christ.
Yeah, so he said this thing was not known ever before. Not in Jewish law. It never was known. But as you read the writings that the Lord has given me, you'll understand this secret thing that I got from the Lord. Right? That's what he's saying. So read it from the King James so they can understand it better.
Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
Right. Well, but you don't figure it. Well, this you don't know. Well, what is the knowledge? I thought he was sitting and figure out, what is the knowledge that he has, that he's supposed to go to the Gentiles? Amen?
Amen.
Then you understand what I'm talking about, Paul said, right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
Yeah, see, not only was it known to Paul, but it was known to the holy prophets and the apostles. Because all those apostles knew that Paul was supposed to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, amen, because he got a revelation from the Lord on it. And it stated in the Old Testament that the Gentiles were going to be brought in, didn't it? So the prophets knew it too. It says, Abraham, you don't have any son, but how are you going to be the father of many nations if you don't even have one son? Amen?
Amen.
Don't make sense. God doesn't make sense, right? Now, he made a promise to Abraham, and so therefore Abraham knew that he was going to have a child. Amen?
Amen.
And even if he didn't believe it at the time, he still was going to have one because God proclaimed it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Whether you believe it or not, God's going to do what he's going to do. Amen?
Amen.
Regardless of your lack of faith. Hallelujah. If he tells you that you're going to do this in the future and that, and you stop remembering that, doesn't make any difference. He's still going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
He says that he's going to burn the world up. Doesn't make any difference. If you believe it or not, it's going to burn. And he says, if you don't believe, he says, you're going to burn with it. Because you're saved by faith, not doubt. Amen. You're damned by doubt, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so then what?
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body.
There it is. That's the secret right there. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, the same church. I mean, you guys can come in now, too. We're pretty big of the Jews, huh? You can come into our place now, right? when people hate the Jews. And here Paul, a Jew, is the one that is telling them these things. God didn't reveal this to the Gentiles, but he told it to a Jew, Paul, and Paul went and told the Gentiles and the Jews. And it's foretold in the Old Testament, so there wasn't anything that Paul was saying that was unscriptural. Amen?
Amen.
It is written that he would be the father of many nations, not just the Jewish nation, but every nation of people, that is, the people in these nations that would receive the Lord and worship him and be thankful to him for the mystery that he's unveiled to the world today, which was never known before. Okay, then what?
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
My God, they get to be partakers of all the different blessings forever, eternally? To be heirs and joint heirs with Christ? Yeah, that's why it's important for Gentiles to stop being idol worshippers. And if you backslidden, you better get back to the Lord if you can. Amen?
Amen.
Strengthen that which remains. Because it's obvious you haven't weighed out the great mystery of this and how it wasn't known before, and that you should treasure the things that the Lord says that he will give you, and forget about the treasures on this earth. Amen?
Amen.
Don't lay up treasures on this world, in this world, because you can't take them with you. Amen?
Amen.
And they're going to rust. And I know there's people that have robbed banks and everything and stored the money someplace. Then they got killed, and they found the money later. It was eaten up by worms and all kinds of other stuff. You can still see the $5 bill, right? The $5 on there or something. Okay, then what?
Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God.
So I was the one that was got to proclaim this to the Gentiles. Okay, read what I said.
God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now he has revealed it by the Holy Spirit.
To him. Then what?
His holy apostles and prophets.
And to the other holy apostles and prophets. Amen. It's proclaimed. You can read the Messiah book and see that. Amen?
Amen?
Read the Old Testament and see that. Don't just rely on my writings. Amen?
Amen.
Or for that matter, anybody else. Read Old and New Testament. Then what?
And this is his secret plan. The Gentiles have an equal share with the Jews in all the riches inherited by God's children.
Yeah. If the Jews were the only God's children, well... Now they get to have all the riches with them. So don't goof off, okay? Because ye are the Lord's friend if you do everything he says. If you continue on in the Word, amen?
Amen.
In the Holy Spirit. Because there is absolutely no condemnation to those that walk at... in the spirit and not after the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
There's no condemnation. All right, then what else?
Both groups have believed the good news, and both are a part of the same body and enjoy together the promise of blessings through Christ Jesus.
Through Christ, you know, we're heirs and joint heirs of everything. And the Gentiles too. Then what?
By God's gift of mighty power, I have been given the wonderful...
And most people say, by God's grace, you know. But I say, by God's mighty power. Amen?
Amen.
By the gift. Read what it says in King James.
Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of
God. It doesn't say the undeserved favor, does it?
No.
It says the gift of what?
Of the grace
of God. Of the mighty power of God. The grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
The gift of the mighty power of God given to me. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
It's a gift of mighty power. The Holy Spirit is mighty power. Amen?
Amen.
So you say, do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Say, do you have the gift of the mighty power of God? You shall have mighty power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen?
Amen.
And if you think that mighty power of God in you and working in and through you is nothing, well then, you know, you want to face God and say that to him? You're saying it to him if you're not letting him live that mighty power out in you here in this world. And you can't do that unless you read the Word every day and for a purpose, a reason. You're not reading just to edify yourself. We've been called to edify the world. Okay? Forget about you. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I was just so blessed in the service. And they go, ah, ta ta ta, oh, ya, ya, ta ta ta, ah, ya, pa 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 pa, like they're speaking in tongues. Like that's the Holy Spirit. No, it's not ta ta ta, oh, pa 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 pa, and stuff like this. It's another language that the Lord gives you, okay? Not ta ta ta. Oh, solamaya makatiapa. That isn't the Holy Spirit, okay? And I say it knowing that something would happen to me if I was saying something false, all right?
Amen.
Not ta ta ta. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. The Holy Spirit does the talking through. He doesn't go ta ta ta. Amen?
Amen.
Wake up and believe the real gospel, not some false stuff that you see other people that have fallen away in this church that have done. That isn't the Holy Spirit telling people that they've had the Holy Spirit. When you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't know it. You don't have to have somebody tell you. Amen. Amen. Are you sure? Are you sure it's amen?
Amen?
Well, then why don't you say it loud? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. It's not ta, ta, ta. All right. What else?
Whereof I was...
Ooh, ta, ta, ta. Ooh, ta, ta, ta. Man, it makes me sick. I want to pop him right across the face in these phony churches that do that. Ooh, ta, ta, ta. Okay? Because that isn't... I don't know of any language that does the ta, ta, ta. Except maybe in the nut house. Okay, what else? And what else?
Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me.
According to the gift of the mighty power of God given unto me. Mighty power. I'm not just coming to you with words, but I'm coming with evidence, you know, power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you can't have any power of God unless you're doing what he tells you to do. Because when you're doing what he tells you to do, that shows the world that you do have power, because no one can do the things that the Lord tells you to do unless it's the Lord doing it in you. Amen?
Amen.
You think I could do this if I was just a fleshy person?
No.
Okay, then you know that the Lord, that there's a visitation of the Lord here today. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord's visiting you. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't have to be ashamed about that. I can really truly say that because it's the truth. Then what?
According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power.
For his power, not yours or mine. Not ta-ta-ta. Okay, ooh-da-pa-pa. Sama-la-la-ma-da. You know any language like that? I don't either. Then what? Lord speaks in other tongues, you know? And he speaks also in the tongues of angels. Amen?
Amen.
For I've heard people, and I myself have spoken in the Holy Spirit. And I know that, you know, the Lord. Okay, then what?
Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles.
That this great power, mighty power of God has been given to me for the reason of preaching the gospel to what?
Among the Gentiles.
See? That's the mystery. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The unsearchable riches of Christ.
Okay, so if you're not preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, for his mercy, his richness in mercy, and also to give you a clean escape from hell, to give you immortality in heaven and gifts here on this earth and power inside you to resist sin, Satan, the world, and your flesh. He gives you all this power. These are gifts. Amen?
Amen.
These are some of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And then also to support us. A bunch of people that are not really capable of making the kind of money that it takes to support this work. Isn't that some of the unsearchable miracles of Christ, the riches of Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Nobody's hungry in here, are you?
No.
You don't look like it. Some of you look like you gained a few pounds. Right? Then what else?
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Right, so this mystery, he wanted to put together a church both of Jews and Gentiles, and he wanted to do that so long ago that he even told Father Abraham about it. Amen?
Amen.
Going to make a church out of the Jews and Gentiles. Well, that's good to get settled once and for all in your heart, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, read what I wrote.
By God's gift of mighty power, I have been given the wonderful privilege of serving him by spreading this good news.
To the Gentiles and the Jews. Okay, because it's in the Bible for everybody to read. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Just think, though I did nothing to deserve it, and though I am the least deserving Christian in the world, I was chosen for this special job of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ.
That are now available to them in Christ, okay? Isn't that good to tell people that? Well,
Amen.
How come people in the church are not out telling the Gentiles that? Because that was his special ministry to tell all Christians to go and do that. And if you're not doing it, well, you say, but I'm going to get into heaven by typing or cooking or teaching. No, you're not. Mm-mm. Right? Well, you get in by preaching? Okay. Yeah, that's it. Spreading this beautiful news. Amen?
Amen.
The good news. Winning souls. Don't forget what the Lord called you for. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
I was chosen to explain to everyone this plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose was to show his wisdom in all its rich variety to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms.
Right. Not only are we the people in the world watching us, but even the angels in heaven are watching this mysterious thing happening here on earth. Amen? The body of Christ being built out of a bunch of people that are filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And they got that way by the preaching of the Word and no other way. Unless God called you specially, like he did Paul, Jeremiah, and people like that, and including myself. Okay, now go ahead.
They will see this when Jews and Gentiles are joined together in his church.
Yeah. Do we see Jews and Gentiles gathered together in his church?
Yes.
The world sees that now. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, now read it from King James.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
Yeah, the church is the one that tells this because people can see that in the church is the Jews and the Gentiles. Amen?
Yes.
Gathered together as one body, a body for God, Christ, to live in God in Christ. Amen?
Yes.
That's what we are as a holy temple. A body that has all different kinds of parts in it, all different offices in the body, just like our human body. The Bible likens the body of Christ as just as your body has many members, so also does the body of Christ have many members. We don't have 10 fingers and 10 toes, 20 fingers and 20 toes, right? All we need is 5 on each foot, right? And I don't need an extra set of thumbs. Or either do you. Okay, what else?
According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And what was that? To make a body for himself out of Jews and Gentiles, okay? Lest you should forget in 5 minutes, okay? Then what?
In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
You know, confidence to approach the throne. Amen?
Amen.
By what?
By the faith of him.
By faith in his word. because his word says we're forgiven, and so we have boldness. Now, his word is God, and so if we can't believe God, well, then you're lost, you're damned. So if he says by the faith of him that we have faith, then we can go up there knowing that he's a loving father and that he's welcoming. He's loving it when we come up and welcoming us, okay? And so you say, well, I don't deserve to be in the body of Christ. I don't deserve to tell people about Jesus. I don't deserve to come up to the throne of God. Don't let my foot say that I don't. He doesn't deserve to walk me around, okay? Don't let my mouth tell me that I don't deserve to eat, because I'm not. I'm going to eat. Okay? And don't let my eyes say that I don't have the right to see. So don't you tell God or anyone else that you don't have the right to preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Or to be a witness to other people. Or that you shouldn't be in the house of the Lord because you're some kind of a weasel. When the Lord is calling, he called you into the house of the Lord to be a working member of his body. And if you left and you didn't stay into the Lord, then it would be leaving the body with perhaps without a toe. Even if you were just a toe, it's an important part of the body. Amen?
Yes.
So don't ever let the devil tell you that. Keep going.
Right. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory.
Right. Okay. Then what?
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Okay, do you know what that means? Just what I just said? Now, go ahead and read what I said.
This was his...
So I don't want you to faint if I went to prison, if they're beating me and persecuting me and everything. I don't want you to be sorry about that. But this is causes me, you know, I must be some kind of a person that needs this because it makes me bow my knees to the Lord to stay a hold of him for your sakes. Okay? So whatever tribulation I'm going through, Paul said, it causes me to reach out to the throne of the Lord, because otherwise I might fall away. So I need this. Whatever I'm going through, I need it. Read it.
This was his plan from all eternity, and it has now been carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome.
Yeah, he's glad when we come up there. So a lot of people say, well, I don't deserve to come up to the throne of the Lord. I've done something. Get up there and get forgiveness for it, and get up there and stay there. Amen? Because he's glad when you show up. Just like the father did to the prodigal son. He says, at least this person is trying. Amen?
Amen?
They're coming up here. And I love you. You know, the Lord loves us so much that he died for us. And the Bible says that it's impossible for us to ever know the length, the depth, the height, the breadth of his love. It's impossible for you to... It goes beyond understanding his love. So he's glad when you show up at the throne. And you're very welcome, for God's sake. If you saw your little son or daughter crawling to you on their knees, what would you do? I mean, what kind of a God would you be if he smote him away? He's glad. Oh, God, my little daughter, my sons, you know, if they were coming to me, Dad, 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 what am I going to do, shut my ears to them? In the name of Jesus, I love you, Dad. Oh, he's glad. Amen?
Amen.
And you're welcome. Welcome home, son, my daughter. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't that make you... See, this love of God passes understanding. That your rulers, your evil spirit might say, oh, I would kill my son if they did such a thing, but God loves you more than that. God's love is deeper than yours. Higher than yours. Wider than yours. Broader than yours. It's like beyond. He really loves you. He loved you enough to manufacture and then die for you. Amen?
Amen.
And me too. Okay? even though some of you may think otherwise. But you have to believe the gospel, amen?
Amen.
Or you're damned. Okay, then what?
So please don't despair because of what they are doing to me here.
Yeah, don't be despondent because I went to prison or that I'm being beaten or all these things. Or that, you know, they're saying bad things about me. Keep going.
It is for you that I am suffering, so you should feel honored and encouraged.
Yeah. It's for your sakes. Because I'm supposed to be a testimony to you. But you should do as I do. I mean, if you get put through these paces, don't let it throw you away either. Amen?
Amen.
Or make you be a castaway. Or make you fall if you have to go through some persecution. I'm strong enough to go through persecution to show you that I believe in God so much and that there's the kingdom of heaven to gain and hell to shun that I'll put up with any of this stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Paul prays for spiritual power. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit.
Mighty inner strength, not undeserved favor. Undeserved favor doesn't do me any good at all. Okay? I can't lean on undeserved favor, but I can lean on mighty inner strength of God, the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
The mighty power of God. That I can lean on. Don't tell me that grace is undeserved power or undeserved favor, because if we have power, it's because we deserve it. We deserve it because we have faith. God says that by faith we get power. Amen?
Amen.
By faith we're saved. That's not undeserved favor. It's we get it because we have faith, so we deserve it. All right? If you tell me that we that grace is undeserved power or undeserved faith for, I'll spit in your face. You think that's wrong? I don't care. I don't like false prophets. I know in the Old Testament somebody did something worse than spit in false prophets' faces. Amen?
Amen.
Remember the story about Elijah?
Yes.
Did he spit in their faces? I think they would rather have had him spit in their faces. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts and deep into the soil of God's marvelous love.
Okay, now read it from the King James now.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
Yeah, that's King James, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that supposed to be? Isn't that what it said?
Yes.
Not undeserved favor. Amen?
Amen.
But what?
Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
Yeah. Might. Do you know what might is? Mighty power. God's only... There's no power. Jesus said, all power belongs to me. All power in heaven and on earth. So you don't have any power. I don't either, unless it's his in us. Amen?
Amen.
And praise the Lord if it is. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, then what?
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love...
He dwells in your hearts by faith. And he knows that you have faith if you're reading the Word and getting that power from that Word every day. Amen?
Amen.
Why is the power in you every day? Not just to just sit there and do it, but to start bringing people into the house of safety. Amen?
Amen.
Place of safety. The only safe place in the world. I wrote a tract a long time ago about that, wasn't it?
Yes.
The safest place in the world. I wrote it because an attorney friend of mine told me, he says, Tony, do you know any place in the world where it's safe? I said, sure. The Lord. That's the only safe place. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible confirms what I'm saying. Amen?
Amen.
A place of safety. In the book of Zechariah, read it. We read it today. Okay, what else?
That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend.
But you're rooted and grounded by the keeping of God's commandments. That's what love is. And you can only experience the life of Christ if you're doing what he says, because it takes him in you to do what he says to do. Amen?
Amen.
So in doing so, you're experiencing the power, the life and power of God. And that gives you more faith when you see yourself doing things that the Lord tells you to do, that you know you couldn't do unless you had the Spirit of the Lord in you. Amen?
Amen.
Capito comprende? Capisce? Verstehen? Okay, good. You understand?
Yes.
Good. What else?
That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height
of the love of God. Know that he's glad when you come up there. You have to remember that, because if you forget, if you're a forgetful hearer, you won't keep it on your mind all day long. You won't meditate on it. Don't be a forgetful hearer. You're hearing what it is. Now you have to remember that. Otherwise, if you don't keep a vision, you'll perish, you'll fall away, you'll go to hell. Realize that and know, because the Bible says so, that he's glad. God is glad. He loves you. He's glad when you come up there. He loves you if you keep his commandments, and if you are. One thing for sure, he knows that you're keeping the commandments of praying and reading. Now, those are the two easiest things to do, and hence you'll have the power to be able to do everything else. Amen?
Amen.
So realize that you're welcome up there. That's home. Home. Go home for Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
During these Christmas holidays. And let every day be a Christmas holiday. Amen?
Amen.
A visitation with the Lord. It's home. Sweet home. Praise the Lord. There's never been a home like that in the whole universe. Like the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge.
See, you can't understand it. It's just too far above you, below, everywhere. His love passes understanding, human understanding. You'll never know how deep it is, how rich, how high, how wide, how broad. Then what?
That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
You see, because when you know how much love he has for you, then you'll be filled with the fullness of God. If you could know that. But what he gives you, he allows you enough of the knowledge of that to where you can be filled. Amen?
Amen.
But even the more filled you get, the more you'll know that it's just limitless, without limit. Now, some people change that to that the Lord loves you unconditionally. That isn't true. But he has a love for those that love him and keep his commandments, that fear him and keep his commandments, that is limitless. But he says, if you love him, then get up there. And he loves it when you come up there. He's glad when you come up there. He's exceedingly happy. If you can picture the Lord just smiling down tenderly at you and welcoming you. If you really knew the depth of it, you would cry. You'd weep. You would. You've never known love like that. Your parents never loved you like that. You've never experienced anything like that. It's like beyond your imagination or even your knowledge. Then what?
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Yep. That's it. It's the power that works in us. If you're saved and you're reading and you're a disciple of Christ, then what?
Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout.
No, not glory to everybody in the world, but in the church, in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Okay, now finish off with 9.
And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never really understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God. By this mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever
and ever.
How
does he get glory in the church? Is when you are out welcoming everybody into the church, the empty vessels out in the world, so that they can be filled with oil. Welcome them as the Lord welcomes you up to the throne. Amen?
Amen.
Have mercy, because mercy begets mercy. And every one of us need mercy. Everybody in the world needs mercy from God. Okay, because even though he's a loving God, and it's beyond understanding, he also is severe. Okay, then what?
May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen.
Yeah, when people get saved, they get filled with the oil. They give glory to God. So glory is in the church. Amen.
Amen.
God gets glory by when you win somebody to the Lord. You can see the enthusiastic new people that are being saved. They praise and thank the Lord. And they're busy out there trying to fill the church up. Amen?
Amen.
I fill the body of Christ up. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 3, Ephesians. And tomorrow will be chapter 4, Lord willing. Lord bless.